Blind Cool Tech, July 14, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, we're fun.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology,
the world
is anybody there. And blindness.
Ah, God, who put that wall there?
And all come together.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I hope you'll join me and enjoy a walk for about the next 40 minutes or so. Actually, it could be a little longer. We're planning on making a stop at a farmer's market, which I have not been to in about 15 years. So I'm not exactly a regular customer there. But I was hoping to pick up some good homegrown tomatoes and stuff. Mine were little, and now they're non-existent since Fred has decided he likes green tomatoes as well as red ones. So I'm going to have to put a fence around mine. Anyway, today we're going to try to talk a little bit about accessible DVDs and video describe DVS services. And in fact, I'm sure I'm not even saying that right. Before we do though, just let me catch up on a few little housekeeping matters. A couple of you have asked me what those sounds are. Usually when I make a recording at home or at work, and particularly on the Studio Recorder 3.5 podcast, there was a periodic noise in there. And what that was, that particular noise was we use GroupWise as an email program, and that was a GroupWise calendar alarm notifying me that I was had a meeting. It was one that I knew about and chose not to attend, but I wasn't listening as we were recording it, so I apologize for having all those notifications in the recording. The other sounds, often you'll hear some toot and different little sounds, or the pring. That one's the email notification. I turned that off at work because I kind of got burnt in the Carol Stewart interview, just when she was saying something. Got about 30 emails, and GroupWise is kind of funny. Instead of just giving you one notification like Outlook does, it gives you one for every message. So it kind of can sound like you're at a casino sometimes. Jing, 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 jing. Good boy, little buddy. I am talking, by the way, to my guide dog, Jake. He'll be 4 years old on Christmas Day, in fact. And it's pretty warm out here today, so you may hear him panting as we get a little closer to home. So those other sounds, the ticks and other little things you hear, is a sound that I've assigned to a program start, and I find that very, very useful for troubleshooting on the PC, especially if your speech goes down, just to know what's going on. But those are, by the way, available from Andre Louis' website. That's AndreLouis.com. AndreLouis.com. And what he's got is a sound scheme. Because in Windows, you can assign sounds to different events. And in fact, most of you probably know this, but if you don't, just go to the control panel. Go down to sounds. Hey!
Hi.
How you doing? Great. Good boy, little buddy. And you'll see there's several events listed there. Menu open, menu close, program maximize, minimize. Just all the normal events of many programs. And what Andre Louis has done is created a set of sounds that you can use for all these events. And in fact, you used to have to assign them all by hand, but he's got it set up now where you can just run a installation program and install all those sounds as a scheme in one easy step. Good boy, little buddy. So that's what those sounds are you're hearing on that recording, and I recognize that that's not a very professional way to do things. So I've been trying to live with no sounds, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. So I may just switch between them as when I make a recording. It'll just have to be another thing I remember to do. I also wanted to talk a little bit more about the Skype phone. Good boy. On those sound schemes, encourage you to check that out. These ones from Andre Louis are in stereo. In fact, the Windows startup sound kind of goes from pans back and forth between your speakers. It's pretty nice. Very, very nice sounds. And what I like is they're short. You know, they don't hit you over the head. So, in other words, the program startup sound is just a little So when you start up your computer, you know, there's probably hundreds of programs get started. So you hear and, you know, it kind of gives you an idea there's some activity going on. And I just find it a good little extra, a way to get a little extra feedback. So, check those out. They're called 44.1 is the name of the sound scheme. And, you know, if you go into the sounds section of the control panel, you assign these groupings to a theme. So what he's done here is this theme is called 44.1, and it's got different sounds assigned for all those sounds. So Windows comes with a couple of themes. I think one is just Windows default, and most of the stuff doesn't even have a sound assigned to it in Windows default. A lot of it is open program doesn't have a sound assigned to it. And then there's, good, how you doing? There's another one that comes with Windows called No Sounds. So that's what I've switched over to using temporarily, at least for the moment, and will be using during recordings if I can possibly remember to do it. One of the things when you're making these recordings, it's kind of important, at least to me, not to have too much setup involved, or you know, you can lose the moment. I mean, if it takes you half an hour to record a 5-minute podcast, there's something wrong there. Good boy, little buddy. So that's what those sounds are. Had a great chat with Ed Potter yesterday of Playback Magazine. He wanted to interview me for, I think, the next issue of Playback. So if you're a Playback subscriber, check that out. And Ed, I don't know if this will make it in the interview or not, but Ed's interested in putting some of his commentary up on Blind Cool Tech, and he's going to try to find someone to help him convert the cassette audio over to digital and get it uploaded. Ed had some good questions. He's an astute man and pretty good about picking up trends and kind of the identifying the essence. Oh, wow, that hurt. Low branch. I've gotta say, I've said it before, these overheads are the toughest thing for a guide dog, but I have never seen a dog better than Jake. I mean, if it's, you know, you can't have the dog stop for every branch. Like on a walk like I'm on here, we would never go anywhere. But Jake actually is pretty good at picking out places where I can walk between. It's funny to look at him. He's always looking up back and forth. So he takes it pretty seriously. I really do need to trim these back though. It'd make it a lot easier for him. It's a tough job. And then there's a few places where there's no way to get through and he'll just stop there. And I think we'll probably see that on the way home. I'll try to point it out. I am recording, by the way, with the M-Audio MicroTrack and the Church Audio binaural mics. I made a recording the other day with the Olympus on the way home, and I had let my battery run out in it. It had reset everything back to the default, so it was actually recording in conference mode. And I know Pam on the list has pointed out many, many times that you get much better recordings for the kinds of things that we're doing in what's called dictation mode. It's less sensitive, less automatic gain control going on. And she's absolutely right. I mean, you'll be discouraged with your Olympus's quality if you make outside recordings like this with it in conference mode. So not a good recording at all. So I trashed that particular podcast, but I would like to do a demo for you all at some point with the Church Audio mics on the Olympus. It's surprisingly good recording. All right, let's talk about accessible DVDs. What is an accessible DVD? Well, you can actually get a DVD that you just plug into your DVD player, not a computer or anything. I mean, it'll play on a computer too, but one's not required. And it can have talking menus. And of course, it can also have closed captioning. And it can have video description. Now, video description is something that we could devote a lot of time to. It's fascinating. Especially if you've ever watched a movie without it and then with it, to see how much you have missed. But what it is I believe it was actually pioneered by WGBH, television, public television up in Boston. And they are at WGBH.org, by the way. And what video description is a way for a narrator to provide a blind person with the visual information. But they do it in such a way as to not obstruct the script, the character. You know, they don't ever talk over any dialogue. or any important sounds that are going on. And, you know, sometimes if there's a lot of action, they just use real short descriptions, or if there's a pause in the dialogue and there's a lot happening on the screen, you may hear longer ones. But they're obviously, it's obvious that they're very professionally done, the ones I've heard, and that somebody has taken some real time to develop the script for the narration. I mean, it's not one of these things where you can watch the movie and just sort of do it ad lib. You can tell that these people have analyzed this movie and watched it several times before they write their script, and really, really nice job. I think you can actually rent some of those DVDs from WGBH. I could be wrong about that. But you can also get them from your local library in many cases. I know the Louisville Free Public Library loans out. But you know what? Actually, I think they're mostly on VHS, though. But if you have a VHS player, might want to try that. Now, but what got me interested in this, you should check out for an excellent example of a very nice way the talking menus are implemented and narration. And by the way, this narration on a movie, you don't have to do this, but if you have television shows that are narrated, you turn on the SAP channel, which is a separate audio program, and sometimes those are used to present alternative language versions of shows, or in our case here, in fact, the Weather Channel supports a separate SAP track, and what it actually is just the NOAA weather radio. So you actually can see the regular shows on the Weather Channel, but you're hearing the audio from the NOAA weather radio. But an example of a good DVD to get that is put out by your public broadcasting system station, PBS, is the series, the 3-DVD set they did on Lincoln, and I honestly don't remember the exact name of it. But let's talk about these talking menus a minute. What they are is, as you move from menu item to menu item, the DVDs are set up to play, you can have a sound effect or what have you. And what they've done is taken these standards, these things that a DVD can do, and sort of hacked in some accessibility to it. So if you go down to the play item, instead of playing a sound effect, one of these movies that's prepared this way will play an audio recording of a narrator saying play, and then there's usually several seconds of silence after it, because what happens is this audio repeats, so it'll just say, I think what we did on this one we built was put 10 seconds of silence at the end. So every 10 seconds it would just say play if you didn't do anything. Now, so that's the way you can make these menus accessible. And there is documentation on this whole process over at WGBH. Now, what's kind of interesting, though, is that you can set it up so that the default is to have the menus on to be spoken, and then you can shut off the menus if you don't want it. And as they point out over at WGBH, what your defaults are going to be is really going to depend on who your audience is. You know, if you're making a DVD for an audience of blind people, then you're going to want to have those menus so that their default state is to talk. Okay, we're going to pause that accessible DVD discussion here in just a second because we're coming up to Peterson Avenue, and the fruit market, the farmer's market, is right across the street, and in a church parking lot here. I'm going to see what kind of, if there is anything, and what there is. Good boy, little buddy. Went behind him. We're going to go right. Good boy. Good dog. I can't tell there's any activity at all here. Whoa. Left. No, I don't think there's anything here. Let's go down a little bit further. We could actually go home a different way here if we wanted to. Go down this street. I don't think there's a farmer's market here. Okay. Yeah, let's go back. All right, back to the accessible DVD discussion. So, we make, over at APH, we make a lot of DVDs, and some of them, if not all, really should be accessible to in the menus. So we just wanted to really follow the WGBH guidelines, and I was really curious to see how this all worked anyway. I mean, I had heard of accessible DVDs, but I honestly didn't even realize you could have the menus talk. And it's a very slick way they did that. I must say a hearty congratulations to the folks that came up with that procedure. Same way, you know, we were talking about your audience. If your audience is deaf, then you would want to default to having the video, captioning on. Good boy, little buddy. One of the things we did when we were playing with this one, too, is this was a DVD that's currently being filmed about a particular topic, and it comes with a guidebook. So we took this guidebook, imported it into Book Wizard Reader, which is our digital talking book software, turned on its voice, selected a good voice like AT&T mic or something, I don't remember which one in particular, but ran some software to capture the screen and just told Book Wizard Reader to read it. So it highlights as it reads and speaks it, of course. So once we had that book read, we took that file that this program created. It might have been an AVI file, but essentially what it was a movie of the screen with the audio from the computer, and we made that an option on this DVD as well. It's called Resource Guide, I think. So you move to that and selected, and it comes up with this synthesized speech and the text on the screen with the highlight moving as it reads. So it's kind of neat. But this whole, if you've never heard of accessible DVDs or video descriptions, you've definitely got to check this out. There actually is some work going on in some of the networks to describe some primetime content. I was up in Boston a couple years ago and was fascinated that there were a number of shows on the that were described. I think, not Law and Order, but CMI or something like that. Darn it, I wish I could think of it. It'll come to me when I'm not trying to. So I believe there is some legislation in some degree of work. I don't know if it's actually passed or just under consideration or what, but they are thinking of requiring a certain percentage of primetime shows to be offered with video descriptions. But turns out it only applies to the top 50 markets, I believe, is the way they worded it on the website that I was looking at. And I think Louisville came in 52 or 3 in the country, even though we're supposed to be the 16th largest city now, since we merged our city and county governments last year. Or was that year before last? Anyway, so I don't really get an opportunity to check out those primetime shows like that, but our PBS station does offer that service. Hello. So if you get a chance, you'll probably have to get someone to help you to turn on the SAP option, because it's often buried in several levels of menus, often under the audio section. I think I've seen some TVs with SAP even on the remote, though, so it may just depend on your particular set. Also, like I say, you may need to be aware that, as with the Weather Channel here, audio may be totally different than what the video is showing. But just the several of the PBS children's shows are described, and I've actually got some. I recorded one of them just to give you a sample of what it's like. I think I might have played this on a Blind Cool Tech podcast previously, but here's a little of it anyway, just to give you an idea.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Fred, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Welcome to Blind Cool Tech, man.
Hey,
we're
guys.
Podcasting.
Hello, everybody.
This is Fred Otto. Yeah, that's right. We did an interview with you on Tactile Graphics once before, didn't we?
We have a topic today?
Yes, accessible DVDs. Yes, we were just talking.
Are
there
some?
Huh?
Are there some?
Yeah, we made one for Terry, in fact, as a kind of a sample. But yeah,
like commercially available, are they out there?
Yeah, PBS, there's a Lincoln series that PBS did.
Yeah.
It's got talking menus and video descriptions. Very, very nicely done. It's a 3-tape set. Yeah, hadn't watched it all yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. So when you put it in, does it come up talking?
I don't remember if that one does or not, but I was just telling our listeners the one we made for Terry does. You can, whatever your audience is, if your audience is blind people, that'd be the default, is to have it come on and then give them option to turn it off if they don't want it, you know.
Yeah.
So what are you doing out on this hot July afternoon?
Hey, man, I took the day off.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, I could have picked a nicer day for it, but it just worked out. So I've been up at the library, keeping cool and reading.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
It's weird. They've got the place so cold, it's like a refrigerator, and then you come outside, instantly the stuff condenses on your body, so I feel like a clam now.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
I guess you've told your listeners about the heat.
I haven't. It's pretty really bad, though.
Bad?
Kind of reminds you of Arkansas. Except I think Arkansas is much worse than this, believe it or not.
Yeah. Doing?
Rough, he says, rough.
Rough, he's got a sore spot on his leg.
Yep.
And a little sty on his eye or something.
Oh, does he? I didn't even know that.
That's right, I bet he used to have one of those.
Well,
fell apart on us, Jake.
I know Fred can't have a sty on his right eye anymore. Because didn't I tell you he had to get one of his eyes removed?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. that uveitis, boy, it was in pretty bad pain.
So he's definitely visually impaired now.
Mm-hmm. One-eyed bandit. He's always winking at you.
You got a little eye patch?
Mm-mm.
That'd be cool. You could be a little pirate dog.
Yeah. I think we might have to look into that.
Because then he'll want a peg leg and a hook hand. And, you know, all
and he'll go around all day wanting to go, arr.
Well, that's my
it's big dog. It's big dog.
Yeah, he's a big one.
Big boy, dog.
Have you seen these... I don't know if it's condos or apartments or what they're building down there next to Dietrich's.
Yeah.
I was reading in Crescent Hill newsletter they're supposed to go for like $500,000 to $1 million apiece.
Seriously. I don't think the ones down our way, me and down close to the printing house, are filling up that well.
Oh, yeah, they're kind of pricey too, aren't they?
I think they're probably in the 200 to 300 range.
Yeah.
I don't know. $500,000?
Yeah, I think they said
gold or something.
Well, they're apparently going to be. I'm not really all this clear about this, but it's almost like in the old-fashioned days where you had a shop on the bottom and living space on top.
Yeah,
I think it's supposed to be some kind of retail at the bottom. I don't understand why they're building it so close to the road, though. I mean, they're doing a lot of woodwork like right at the curb.
Huh.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. Like it would be a little classier to have it set back.
Yeah, unless it's gonna like hang over the sidewalk or something and you just walk under it. I don't know.
That'd be cool if they had some nice little shops down below that were like actually useful to people.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Hey there, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Hot enough out here for you?
Yeah, plenty.
It seems like they fill up these places with like upscale clothing or
things
that you don't need to go to.
Or consignment shops.
Yeah.
I think we've got enough of that. Or art galleries. Whew. And I mean, so I'm sure some people love art galleries, but enough is enough.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to make our way on. Very good seeing you, Fred. Gosh, we never see each other at work.
I know. We're a few hundred feet apart, but it may as well be a mile.
Yeah. Kind of a hard way to go between there too.
All right, y'all enjoy your walk.
Thank you. You too, man. Yeah. Bye. Good boy, little buddy. So yeah, it's Fred Otto. He's been on the podcast before. He's our tactile graphics project leader. Really interesting and a very sharp guy too. I always enjoy talking to Fred. Good boy, little buddy. So, what else can I say about these accessible DVDs and DVS? Gosh, I think we've probably pretty well covered the basics of them. I guess this would be a good time too to talk about a little bit about Media Center. I've had a couple other questions about it. One of them in particular, does Media Center require you to have a cable connection? And no, it doesn't. In fact, when you set it up, you type in your zip code and the setup program. Listen, that church bell actually asks you whether you have an antenna connection, digital cable from, and it names your local cable provider, regular cable, and I want to say I'm 99% sure it also offers you the satellite options that are available in your area. And of course it downloads the guide information for each of those once you've set up what you want. So no, you don't have to have cable. You could just use a regular rabbit ear antenna if you wanted to, and Media Center would still work. Probably all of you already know by now that the next version of Microsoft Windows, called Vista, has Media Center built into it now. That should be coming out around January or maybe December or January. The way it is right now, though, you have to order a version of Windows called Media Center Edition. And it really acts just like Windows with most respects, and it's got the addition of a program called Media Center that does the recording for you and lets you watch the TV and radio if you have the hardware for that. And but it is accessible. Even if you don't have a screen reader, you can run Narrator, and it works pretty well with it. And it's kind of neat too, because the remote control that comes with these Media Center PCs, all that talks when you're running Narrator as well. So you can type in a channel and hear it, and or go to the guide and peruse through the offerings from the comfort of your easy chair in the living room. So very, very nice feature. Another thing in Vista that will excite you blind cool tech listeners is a new voice from Microsoft. And I swear it sounds like AT&T, one of the AT&T voices to me, but they're calling her Microsoft Anna, I believe, A-N-N-A, or is it Ada? I can't remember. Very good voice, though. So that's part of the new speech that's available in Vista, so they're certainly making, you know, heading in the right direction with that. I was getting pretty tired of Microsoft Sam. And then, of course, in Narrator, and you know, there's actually a place to select different voices, but for some reason they have opted to only provide you one choice, even though you actually may have other voices installed on your system. Oh man, Joe and I did a lot of work last night. We had cut down some brush a couple weeks earlier, and the city didn't pick it up. And, well, they probably shouldn't, because my pickup place is in front of the house, but I'm the only one in that alley that was that way. They stop at my house, and I think it's just because I have a driveway and most of the other houses on the block don't. And I'm at the end of the alley. So what we did, we started out, you know, this was such a big pile of brush that we realized this was not going to fit in trash cans. So we started out thinking, well, I've got these three trash cans, we'll just put out three a week. Well, we filled up these three, and Joe looks over there and says, well, why don't we just use these guys' two empty cans here? Because this was about 10 o'clock last night. And, you know, if somebody was going to have their cans full of yard waste for them to pick up, they would have done it by then. And we filled those two up. And, well, went and borrowed a couple more. And pretty soon we had every trash can in the alley full. And I just wouldn't have wanted to see the reaction of the guys this morning when they came to get it. I mean, it was neatly done. It was just, you know, I wonder what they're doing, what they're thinking. Is everybody on this block trimming? But yeah, we had, when I bought this house, I put up a chain link fence for the dogs. And I made it so that you could actually park outside the fence off the alley. But it turns out nobody really ever uses that, because you can fit two or three cars in our driveway, one in the garage and a couple in front of the house. So we never really used it. But as I was making our sidewalk, we got to the fence and I thought, you know, it'd be neat just to move this fence all the way back to the alley. But there was a lot of brush back there, so we went through and got most of it cut out. And I mean, literally, we had a mountain of brush. And it looks really good back there, and it's underneath the big maple tree that I think I was telling you about it. It's three trunks, and they're twisted around each other. And, you know, we're talking like 4 or 5 feet diameter here of the, you know, of all three of them combined. So, you know, I told you we have that monkey swing, and it's on a branch that's approximately 26 feet in the air. And that the diameter of that branch is about a foot. So this is a huge tree. Anyway, it's, this area is really prime real estate for the backyard, because it's nice and shady, and it's on the top of the hill. So there's always a breeze blowing up there. Very, very nice area. So we're looking forward to maybe putting a hammock up back there. Maybe moving that stone grill out that way. For some reason right now, it's pretty close to that tree, and it kind of makes me nervous. I'm too nervous to use it, especially in light of that grill fire I had the other day. Hey, you know, I was sort of using this old grill because it cooks so good, but, you know, that's dangerous to do what I was doing, because it was just, you know, exposed to the flame, and the grease dripping on there was just dripping right onto the flame. So yeah, I had a pretty good fire going, put it out with the hose. So that may be a tip for you when you're grilling, is to keep a hose around, and hopefully you'll never need it. But keep it there, have the water on so that it's ready to go. Well, you know, you want to have it off at the end of the hose, like with a sprayer on it or something. But that really saved the day. I mean, it turned what could have been a disaster into just a normal event. I'm glad the steaks were done, because it sure put the charcoal tinge on them. All right. We are going to call it a show for this edition of Blind Cool Tech, and want again to thank each of you who is sending material in profusely. My goal is to actually have enough material coming in so that a person could actually listen to Blind Cool Tech 24 hours a day. I'm not ready to accept that massive amount of material yet, but once we get some more of this automation worked out in ways that people can upload their own material, I'd say we'll see that happen within the year. So be thinking about that. All right, y'all have a great one, and as usual, I thoroughly enjoyed talking with you. This is Larry signing out. Y'all have a good one.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.